let you know we love you and hope you continue to be in our number.
Amen.
So having said that, let's go ahead. Time is short. See, I think Brother Michael got my special glasses. I'm about to swap with him here. Oh, and I have another pair. That's okay. I see him here. That's okay. Yeah, I got some special ones I use sometimes up here. Hey, man, that one won't be good, but I think this one will. Yeah, we use some different ones for different occasions. Amen. And so we're going to go ahead today. We have a special word. Every word from God is special to me. And sometimes we have to think about some previous things that God has said to us. And we need to be reminded. A lot of times, it's not so much that you learn new stuff all the time when you come to church, but what happens is you learn what you need. And God knows what you need. And so sometimes it's review. You may have heard this who knows how many times, but since the word of God is new, it's quick, it's powerful, it's alive, you know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You get something new out of it every time you're exposed to it, even though you may have heard a text a number of times. Amen. So we're going to look at some things God said before. Kind of the same idea. That's what I said about this book here. We hope you will get into that study with us. Amen. And so today, for our lesson today, I'm going to ask you to read a few passages, one from the Old Covenant, and that would be from the book of Judges, chapter 2. And then we're going to take a look at a New Testament passage, which will be found in Romans, chapter number 1.
Amen.
Just a few verses from the Apostle Paul. So let's read Judges 2, 6 to 13. Judges chapter 2, verse 6 reads like this from the KJV. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance and to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel, Israel's unfaithfulness. Of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord God and served Baal and Ashtaroth. That is from the book of Judges, chapter number 2. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his old covenant word. And now for the New Testament reading, this is from the NASB, Romans 1, 18 and 25. Let's read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Very powerful words from the Apostle Paul, written to the church in Rome, and also to us today. Amen. So may God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. I want to talk just the next few minutes about fueled by love that overcomes hate. Fueled by love that overcomes hate. You hear a lot of talk in the news today and online and everywhere you listen about people who are being accused of hate speech. Oh, you speak evil against this group, that group, or the other group. And they talk about, and they're trying to make it something where it's illegal to say certain things about certain types of behavior and certain lifestyles. Even if you speak about a particular people group, you will be accused of hate speech if you say anything about some of these different things. And we've been seeing it taking off in our culture. Yet you have things like what we've been seeing. All kinds of stuff that's just really way out of order. People take into their own hands as though they think they're God. We're going to judge you because we don't like you. And they decide to wipe out a whole group of people. You've been seeing this on the rise. People are so careless and reckless today. Little babies are being put to death because people are so not careful about life. They have such a low opinion of life. That they don't care who is in the way. I'm just venting my anger or my hatred or whatever it is, and if it happens to be a grandmother, a little baby, doesn't make a difference. See, recklessness is what you see in the culture. And everybody's screaming out, what's the problem? Somebody said, oh, let's put some signs up. We must stop killing each other. And it gets worse and worse. Doesn't get better, it gets worse.
That's right.
And the age group is dropping down, starting to see little babies. And where are the activists? This is the question I like to ask. Do they come in if it's a white cop killing a black man? Oh, we're going to fly in from wherever we are and make a big bunch of trouble because the white man has killed the black man. But what about the black man that's killing the babies? What about that? What about all the other atrocious things? Grandmothers not minding their own business. Mothers raising families being cut down in cold blood. What happened with all this? And why aren't we as outraged as others? Now, I may even get called in on this as hate speech. But I'm going to preach. I'm sorry. If somebody thinks that something shouldn't be said, I'm going to say what I think God once said. And so they want to label certain stuff as hate and all of that, but other stuff, oh, that's okay. We don't hear anything. There's no outcry from the people who call themselves social activists. Sometimes even from people who are politicians and different political groups. So what do we do now? You and I have been called by the Most High God, and he invested in us and the world, not just us in this room, but he did what he did for everybody. All the people groups. The church is the least discriminant organism on the planet. And why? Because our doors are open to whoever. Whosoever will, the Bible says, let him come. We don't care where you're coming from. You can be coming from a bad lifestyle. You can be coming from out of drug addiction. You can be coming out of alcoholism. You can be coming out of sexual addiction. You can be coming out of anything. Another country, another religion. No matter where you are, the gospel is to all people. So we have the most inclusive message of anybody or any organism in the world. We don't exclude anybody. But what we do is we call you to trust in the risen one, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the only one who has demonstrated his love and proven that he has the proper credentials to give you salvation. Now, why do I say that? He was, oh, that's a very narrow statement you just made there, preacher. And it is, because he's the only one who got out the grave.
The only one.
He's the only one that can boast that I have overcome the problem with sin, which is death. The Bible says the wages for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No one else can say that.
No one else.
So I boast on it. If somebody doesn't believe it, I'm calling you today. Put down your unbelief, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. God has sent Christ so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I'm going to analyze this problem in just a few words very briefly, and I'm sure I don't have a total solution. But I have observed what has happened.
All right.
I'm older than some of you younger folks here, and there's some elders in here that are older than me. I'm kind of in a position similar to where Joshua was in the text that we're looking at here. It says here in Judges 2 and 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. Now that's talking about the land that God promised to Abraham that he would give his seed. Abraham didn't even have any seed when God made the promise. See, this was like generations before. But God still fulfilled his promise to Abraham and multiplied his seed. And there were so many of them, they incubated in the land of Egypt. And this was like 400 and some years before God had made the promise to Abraham that his seed was multiplied in a foreign land. And it was like 430 years, and God brought them out into the land that he promised with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, the Bible says. In other words, I showed my power even though you were in bondage.
Yes.
You were in slavery. Yes. Some people hated you.
All right, now.
And they hated you without a cause.
Sure did.
But I showed you that I have authority over them. And I was the leaders and the rulers of Egypt.
All right, now.
And so God showed them, I got this. These are my people. I'm bringing them out. And I don't care what you do.
Yes.
You can do what you want to do, but I'm going to show you my power. Because I'm going to get right in your face and bring my people out of your land.
Model.
See, I told them to go ask you first.
Yes.
You notice that, right? So go and tell the Pharaoh, that's what he told Moses, go tell him to let my people go. So he gave you a chance to do it right, and you wouldn't do it. So Moses went, and then he began to show, I have empowered Moses, you ought to listen to him.
Yes.
So he didn't just suddenly just take them off the throne and bring his people out. You know, he showed them first, he said, go tell him I said. Now, that's what God is interested in. He wants people to know, this is what I said.
Yes.
I give you my word.
Yes.
I speak with authority, but I'm giving you a chance to get on board.
Model.
You can do what I say or you don't have to. But when you don't, I'm going to show you my power.
All right.
I'm going to show you I have authority over you, and you can't do anything without me.
Model.
I don't care how much authority I gave you on earth, because if you got any, guess where you got it from?
Right.
You got it from me.
Right.
You didn't get the rise to power in Egypt, you pharaohs, and have all that you have, except that I let you do it.
Yep.
So I'm asking you, let my people go. In fact, he gave them a command, tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh said, man, who are you? He scoffed at him like, who do you think you are? Don't you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the most powerful man on earth. And you come telling me that your God said, let my people go. Well, don't you see all the gods that I have here? You know, he pointed to his statues and all of his mess. You see, don't you see all this?
Uh-huh.
You see the wealth that I have? Don't you see the men and the troops and the power that I have? And all you got is a stick in your hand, dude. And you got the gall to be in my face? I'm going to let your people go. He probably laughed. I don't know. You got to be kidding me. He didn't do what Moses said. He downgraded what Moses said.
Yes, he did.
You know, somebody's going to downgrade what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You think I care? Hello? No, I don't. But I'm going to say what God said. Long story short, he empowered Moses. Moses smote the land of Egypt with 10 different plagues.
Yes, he did.
Showing that I have power each time, saying, let the people go. God said, let them go so they can come and worship me. Long story short, y'all know God brought them out. He showed them, I can stop your whole army.
Yep.
My people are going to go. Well, where you lead them to? Up to the sea? Oh, well, we'll push them in the sea. People have been saying that ever since. They're saying it today about God's people. We're going to just push them in the sea. But we know what God did.
Yes.
When they got to the sea, God opened up the sea.
Yes, he did.
And they went through on dry land. And the enemies, just all they could do is stand there and watch in amazement. How can they do this? Mm-hmm. Well, our gods ain't getting off like that. You know, we ain't got nothing like that. And our wife said, oh, but God did. He opened it up and showed you. I got power. You think you something else. How about this? Yeah. Now, you thought it was Moses. Let me show you. Moses got something else going on. You thought that little stick was nothing, but I told Moses, stretch forth your rod. He peeled back the Red Sea.
Yes.
And the children of Israel went through by the millions on dry land. See what I'm saying? Now that had to be a miracle. And then when they got through, the barrier God set up moved to the other side. And the sea stayed open. Like, okay, y'all haven't learned yet. Y'all know the story. They went down in there, and next thing you know, God said, okay, you got that much nerve. Boom, let the waters go. And drowned them all in the sea.
Yes, he did.
But the fact is, after that point, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They only had 11 days to go to get where they really needed to be. It was 11 days journey. But you know what? Sometimes God's people are hard-headed. We don't know that, though, do we? Sometimes we just don't listen. So they wandered for 40 years, going around the back and around the mountain for 40 years. Long story short, Moses died. He didn't even make it across into the promised land because he disobeyed God. Even Moses, the leader.
Yep.
Hard-headed. Wouldn't listen to God. Well, actually, he did something. God told him what to do, and he didn't do it. He got mad, and he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock.
Yep.
Like God said when they needed water.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So God says, because you did that, Moses, you won't go across. You won't be crossing into the promised land. Needless to say, he told him to energize Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Pass this on to him, and he'll take the children across into the promised land. So this happens, and this is what brings us into this period. That was a brief synopsis of Exodus bringing us to this time of the Judges.
Yes.
The book of Judges, the theme is there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Kind of sound like today, don't it?
Yes, it does.
We got a king, but everybody thinks they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference, but now that's the theme of the book of Judges.
Yeah.
But here we zoom in on the character Joshua, who is the predecessor, he's the follower, the disciple of Moses. And it says here, when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. That was the promise. They're going into the land. And the people served the Lord. That's who had the power behind Moses.
Amen.
That's who had the power behind Joshua.
Amen.
All the days of Joshua, when they had good leadership, they did fine. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. You remember I told you I got some people in here younger than me. I'm kind of one of the older ones in the room, but there's some folk here older than me.
Mm-hmm.
They are the elders, folks who've been walking with God for a long time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They know what God can do.
Yes.
They can be very peaceful in the midst of a lot of trouble because they know what God can do.
Yes.
See, I seen him do it for me. You know, somebody said, well, hey, I don't know if that cake tastes good, but if I got it in my mouth, I'm going to tell you that it tastes good. You see what I'm saying? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, we know that the Lord is good. Some people know it for themselves right well because God has brought them through many troubles, many trials, dangers, seen and unseen. And God has brought them through no matter what anybody else said.
Yeah.
And that's what we call faith.
Yeah.
People who walk by faith. We trust God.
Yeah.
Regardless of our circumstances.
Yeah.
We know God will deliver.
Yes.
We know he has already delivered.
Yeah.
And everything I needed before, he took care of it.
That's right.
So I don't need to worry about it.
That's right.
So Joshua was that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some other elders, people who had seen the works of God. Knew that God was a deliverer, that he was a strong tower, that he was a rock that they could build their faith upon.
Yes.
See, and these people died as well. And so, but time went on, and the younger people who didn't really know and hadn't seen all that stuff, that's what it says next after this. Notice what it says in Joshua the son of Nun, verse 8 in Judges 2. The servant of the Lord died being 110 years old.
Wow.
And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, that's the land he was promised, in Timnath-Heres, It says here, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash, and also all that generation were gathered together unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel.
Wow.
See, the next generation didn't have those experiences that the older people went through. And we build our lives upon the backs of the generations before
us. Yes, we do.
See, we come after them, but we don't sometimes haven't been through. You know what happens? This is what tends to happen, and I'll get around to my subject. But what tends to happen is the next generation has it a little easier than the generation before. They have a little more technology than the generation before. They pray a little less because they have a little less stress, because things in the world become a little better for them. Yo, there was some big people in this room probably know what it's like to get where you're going, maybe by horseback.
Yeah.
And they've seen automobiles and trains and planes and all that. And there's some people in this room don't have any idea what a horseback is about. You see what I'm saying? And so we don't have any idea. We've been in motor cars all our lives and riding all kinds of stuff. There's some people in this room who may have been around before aircraft was invented. You know, and then they've seen all the different stuff, and we've been to the moon and we're out in space and all that now. See, so there's a different thing that happens as we acquire knowledge.
Yes.
Sometimes a man becomes a lot weaker and a lot more dependent on technology and less dependent on God. That's a sad reality.
Yes, it is.
These people here came out, and as long as the people were there who were grounded real well in the things of God, you know what they weren't at one time? They were a little shaky. Too, we had to learn, all the older folks. But the younger people coming along have a different view of the world because of the way the world is now. See, and so things change for them. Now notice what happened, and I don't know what else to call this. I guess you could say it's the post-Joshua effect, if you want to give it a name. But this is after the elders of Joshua and the elders of Israel. It says here that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. Now that I am on the end of a Hebrew word is like an S in English. That means many gods. Baal is a word for gods or Lord. And they say served Baalim. That's plural. Many gods. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, it says again, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. They got hung up in the newfangled gods, who had no track record of deliverance, who had no track record of resurrection, or any of the things that show that he is God and that he has power. And so they forsook the Lord and went after other gods. In America, I'm going to move to the present.
All right.
In the last 50 years, and I can speak about this from experience. See, I saw where we went from a nation that feared the Lord. We came here with a motto of "In God we trust."
Yes, we did.
And we went from that to where we are. We wanted to remove prayer out of the schools. Get it out. Get the Bible out of the schools. All y'all are being one-sided. And they let the devil slip in. And we remove prayer.
Yes, we do.
We remove the Bible. We don't want to be talking about God. And we went off of making Sunday a sacred day. As it had been. When I was a kid, you couldn't buy anything on Sunday.
That's right.
Around here, especially not alcohol or anything of that sort. Couldn't get it. It was blue laws, they called it. See, and then we want to know what happened to the culture. Why do we have a group of people now who don't even care if they kill little babies? What you're seeing after 50 years of godlessness in the culture, now you're seeing the backlash of 50 years without the Lord. And you think you can fix it with a sign. Oh, let's just put up a sign.
Wow.
And stop killing one another. What? The reason people didn't kill folks before is they had the fear of God.
Yes, they did.
They know I'm going to have to answer to the Most High if I go around hurting people and stealing and all that kind of stuff. There is no fear of God any longer in our culture. And this happens over and over and over and over in cycles, and people get worse and worse and worse. If it were not for the fear of the Lord, if it wasn't for God getting a hold of some of us and saying, hey, you better fear me and trust me, don't mean be scared of me, but realize that you will have a day of reckoning. There will be a day you will answer to me for the way you live your life and all those things I blessed you with.
Yeah.
It will be. You will do it. But people are living now with no conviction.
Oh, yeah.
We think, oh, once you die, you're dead. I've heard people say that to me before. When you're dead, you're dead. That's what they say. But you don't know you're going to stand before a great white throne and give an account of your life to a holy God who made everything. But we live in a culture of people who have no idea. They're like these people here. This is after the folks who trained them up were gone and no longer there, that they forsook the Lord and did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is not a new thing. You know what? We have more powerful ways to destroy people today than they did then, but there's been murder going on since the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Cain and Abel, just look right there. There were no guns, so it's not guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Right.
Don't have to be guns.
That's right.
What did he use? We don't know. But the fact is, he hated his brother, and there's always been murder. See, and God allowed it. Now, it doesn't mean it's good or that God is bad. Somebody want to go there. But why does God allow it? You know why? Because God is a mighty God, and he wants you to be free.
Right.
And you do what you do because you want to do it.
That's right.
I'm not making you do anything.
Right.
See, just like, and how do you know he's in on it? Because he's got some skin in the game.
That's right.
He came himself and allowed his own son to be subjected to the most serious cruelty there's ever been in the history of time. No child abuse has ever been worse than the way they abused Jesus on the cross. And that's why I say he's got some skin in the game.
Yes.
He didn't just say this is the way it is. He came down, took on a body of flesh, was born from the womb of a virgin, raised up in Nazareth, a nowhere place in the land of Israel. And he ascended to be the Christ, the Messiah, which he always was from eternity.
Amen.
You see, but he came to show you I'm into your affliction.
Thank you.
I'm into your suffering.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm here to do something about the problem of sin.
Yes.
I'm the only one who came and successfully defeated death in the grave. And the people who said they were so righteous are the ones who nailed me to the cross. So I know what you're going through. I know about your pain. But you know what? Whosoever believes in me, he said, will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And so he didn't just talk about it. He got in it. Became a part of the human family.
Yes,
he had always planned to do this even before he made the heavens and the earth. But cultures have a tendency to slide back and go into old things, and it's really just human nature. Broken, defective, sinful human nature is what the problem is. You won't fix it by putting up a sign.
No way.
But you can put up the gospel, preach the truth to people.
Yes.
Folk need to get back in the word. People should be called back to fear the Lord. See, realize you will give an account of your life. Churches are so muzzled today, you might not ever hear the truth. It's a shame the way it is. Really it is. But it always happens. This here is just a couple of spots. Look in Romans as we move forward. The Bible says here, Paul writing to the church in Rome, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice this, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They hold down the truth because they're so stuck in their unrighteousness. But that which is known about God is evident within them. God made us in his image. That's what that means. Somewhere deep in your soul, you know there is a God. No matter what you say out your mouth. God says, I put my imprint in your soul. I made you in my image and in my likeness. You can deny it, and people do. They do it all the time. That folk called atheists, we don't believe there is a God. You know what? But in their spirit, they know there's a God. You know what? All you do is see something happen to them when they say, "Oh God," first thing they cry out. "Oh Jesus." When they're having trouble, they know who God is. When everything is fine, they say there are no atheists in foxholes, I'm told. Out on the field. When the bullets are flying, "Oh God, help me."
That's right.
Folk know who that there's a God.
Oh yes.
They may deny him when everything is fine.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting along well without him. But when you need a God, then that's when they cry out.
Yeah.
Thank God he's merciful.
Oh yes.
But Paul says that which may be known about God is evident in them. And they suppress the truth. That means we don't want there to be a God, so we don't have to worry about what we're doing and the way we live in our lives. Because that which may be known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Don't ever let anybody tell you they don't think they know there is no God. Well, God made it evident to you, and I'm not going to rail on you about it, but I am going to tell you the truth. For since the creation of the world, how long has this been going on? Somebody got a song. How long has this been going? I'm not going to say that. From the creation of the world, God has revealed this. See, and he says revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Because that which may be known about God is evident within them. So don't let people tell you they don't know God and we don't believe there is a God. Yes, you do. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, notice his phrase, has been clearly seen. Wow. Clearly seen? Everything he said is invisible, but it's clearly seen, being understood through what has been made.
Right.
So that they're without excuse. There's no excuse. When you look at a tree and see how a tree produces, comes up out of a seed, becomes a tree, produces leaves, takes in photosynthetic feeding from the atmosphere, and produces a fruit with seed in itself. That's a miracle. Don't tell me there is no God and you don't believe it. Gotta be kidding me. That's one thing. And you can give people all the computers, all the money, all the time that you need. Say, "I'll give you every computer and all the money and all the time. Make me a blade of grass." Can't do it. Can't make a blade of grass. Make a butterfly. You can't do it. I mean, those are small projects, but not much less make a tree. A tree is a hard project. So they are without excuse. You know what they say? Billions of years will do it. No, that won't do it either. Because I could give you billions of years and you still can't do it. Don't make any difference how many years I give you. That's not going to change it. But even though they knew God, Paul assumes you do know him when you look at what he made. Because the heavens declare his glory. And the firmament shows his handiwork. They did not honor him. That's the problem, is God. Or give thanks. Neither were they thankful, KJV says. But they became futile or vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. When you reject the truth, that's what you get. You get darkened and hardened, just like the Pharaoh did after he had 10 times to get it together. He got harder and harder and harder. Farther away from the truth till he had to be destroyed in the Red Sea. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. That's what the children of Israel did when they worshipped other gods. After they got away from the wisdom of Joshua and the elders that outlived him. And they exchanged the glory of God for the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men and birds, four-footed animals, crawling creatures. Therefore, now this is what happened. And I think this is where we are. It's a little sad, but don't worry if you're saved. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. What is the proof that a culture has been given over? when they start to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And don't tell me you don't see that we have that problem in the world. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they worship and serve the creature more than the creator. They want to enjoy everything he made, but we just don't want you.
Wow.
We don't want you, but we like all this stuff you made.
Wow.
And we want to use it the way we want to use it.
Yeah.
Same problem the Pharaoh had. Same problem the children of Israel had when they didn't have good leadership. The good leadership went away. People got afraid to say the truth.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now.
Yeah.
Just look at the news.
Yeah.
Flick on the news this evening, you'll see that's where we are now as a culture. When there was good leadership, the people were prone to walk more closely with God. And after there was not, chaos and ungodliness set in, and there were no limits to the evil things that the people would do. You can see that happens over and over and over and over.
Yep.
That's what I want you to see. I took you two places.
Yes.
So you can see that this is not the first time. This can be seen over and over in the Bible, and even in our present day culture, as a result of rejecting God from the center of the culture, which creates a vacuum that produces evil of every stripe.
Wow.
That's how it happens. You put out God, guess who comes in?
Yeah.
The devil. And the flesh.
Yep.
And the world.
Yep.
And you want to know how the devil, the flesh, and the world. God said, you don't want me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. And you end up with the devil.
Yeah.
The flesh and the world.
Yeah.
False gods.
Right.
Destruction. Murder.
Yeah.
Homosexuality.
Yeah.
Everything. It starts to run rampant. Yeah. Drug abuse.
Yep. Yeah.
Now we're going to legalize the drug so we don't have to feel bad about it.
Right.
Just make it legal. Prostitution, just make it legal.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to feel bad when we do it. So that's what happens to every culture. It's
wow.
not new. It's the same thing coming around again.
Yes, it is.
Throughout the history of the church, the same pattern has occurred over and over again and can easily be seen by the increase of violence within the culture as we see each day, and such behavior shall be on the rise as a result. But we, the people of the Most High God, must use this knowledge as fuel to produce love that overcomes hate.
Wow.
That's what the church is supposed to do.
Wow. Yes.
Realize this happens over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been called just like Esther.
Yeah.
For such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
To stand up and say the truth.
Yeah.
God has called you. You are the ones who believe. Stand up and say the truth.
Yeah.
Don't let people muzzle you from saying the truth.
Yeah.
The problem is a lack of truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know, and they think it's okay. They're living recklessly under a false god.
Right.
And even the devil is running a lot of people's life.
Yeah.
So the complete victory of God, which is given to us by faith through his word, his holy word. His word is perfect.
Yes.
The Bible, as well as his Holy Spirit, who is his onboard guidance system. We like to talk about a navigation system. You got one if you're saved. He's in there telling you what to do and where to go. This must be transformed into fuel to overcome hate and ignorance and selfishness that exudes from our fallen, unredeemed culture, whom God has commissioned us to reach out with his gospel, the only antidote to heal these evil conditions. The gospel is what people need. That's the good news. God still loves you. You haven't gone too far. If you can hear my voice, that's why the Bible says today, hear his voice. Harden not your heart. See, you were crying out all the time. John the Baptist said he was like a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Come in the name of Jesus. If you're here today, you haven't been saved, we want you to know God loves you.
Yes.
He has made a way for you.
Yes.
We're not perfect. We're a long way from perfect.
Yes.
But we are forgiven.
Yes.
You won't find folks who are forgiven with an attitude that we can just do whatever. That doesn't happen.
Yes.
We know life is precious.
Yes.
God loves every single one.
Yes, he does.
There's nobody he does not love.
Right.
My heart is broken when I think about all the things that happen as a side bar of all these people who just don't know the Lord.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We won't say what the problem is. We're going to spend $420 million and set up programs. No, people need to get back to God. Got to get back to the You ain't going to be able to fix it anyway.
All right.
Some of us are still struggling with what we're trying to get back.
Amen.
And he's working on it.
Yes.
He promised, I'm going to never leave you.
Never.
He said, I'm going to be with you always. He's going to be in the Word. So he has promised to see you through. And in the meantime, you can know you have been forgiven.
Yes.
Now, people do reckless stuff out here because desperate people do desperate things. And they don't understand. There's going to be a day of accountability.
Amen.
And sometimes the church is scared to tell people.
Amen.
There will be a day of reckoning.
Amen.
See, and you think it's bad what man might do to you. Now wait till you hit that box without Jesus. You know, you don't want to do that one. You talking about the Big Bang. Wait till you get to the casket without Jesus. People thought, what the Big Bang created everything. Well, wait till you get in that coffin without Jesus. You need the Lord right now. You haven't confessed Him to be your Savior. Do it now. While the blood is running warm in your veins. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. He loves you. And that's the problem. I just wanted to say, in the church. And what's the problem? So you know. We're seeing a culture that's moved itself under the judgment of the high God. And it's going to get worse if people don't get saved. Most important thing you and I have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we can't muzzle you. Don't let the devil muzzle you. Jesus said, this light I give you, put it on the lampstand so it can give light to the whole house. Don't put it under a bushel. The world wants you to put it under a bushel. Cover it up. You can't say that. Oh, you can't say that. That's hate speech. No, it's not. That mess you're doing is hate speech, but that's what's killing people. They think they have no day of accountability. You and I want them to know God loves you. And some of these things they're doing are heinous, but it's not the first time. You know, when Jesus was born, I'm going to shut up in a minute. I'm a little over time here. But I want you to know, when Jesus was born, the king thought, I got this. Told the wise men, come back, tell me where he is so I can come to worship. With his sword, he was saying. They didn't come back. God told him, go out another way. You know what he did? He said, go kill all the babies. 2 years old and young, kill them all so I can make sure I get him. That's the way fallen people think. And it's happening over and over. That's what you see. Putting people, locking them down, and talking about immigration. Don't you know everybody is an immigrant from somewhere? You pick a lid. I'm going to leave that alone. So if you're here today, and you're not saved, we give you that opportunity to make Christ your Savior. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We praise you, Father. Somebody may just be understanding right now that Jesus is Lord. Whether they're listening to us some other kind of way or they're in this room. So, Father, we're just asking you to save us. Fill our soul with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our sin. We know that you put skin in the game. That's why you came in the flesh of your Son. The Word became flesh and died on the cross and got up out the grave to prove that He is the true Messiah. The only one who can save us from our sin. And we trust Him right now. And Father, we ask you to save us. You said, whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. But you sent Him not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So we want to be a part of that group that's saved. Cover us today, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. And help us to reach out to others, because we know it's your desire that this message will go to the ends of the earth. You said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded us. And lo, you would be with us always, even to the end of the world. And so, Father, we ask you to bless somebody with salvation who is hearing this message, no matter where they are, Father. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We pray for our culture. We ask you to look at those parents, help them, Lord, who have lost children in the midst of all this corruption. Bless every home, Lord. Give them what they need. Let them find comfort in you, Jesus. Comfort the families and get the church back on the right track, Lord. That we might be vocal about this gospel that you have entrusted to our care. We give you all the praise and the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. And the church said together,
amen.
We got a good word from the message.
Amen. We'd like to also offer Christ to you. If you're here today and you are not